It's Saturday morning and time now for the Coach's Corner on Thunder Country KIIC. The Coach's Corner focuses on the world of sports with special emphasis on local sports with interviews from coaches and players. The Coach's Corner is brought to you each and every Saturday morning from 9 until 10 a.m. live from the lobby of the Community First Credit Union in Albia or wherever our journeys may take us. The Coach's Corner is brought to you by Community First Credit Union and Menards, where you can save big money. And now live, it's the Coach's Corner.
Good Saturday morning to you on this beautiful Saturday morning here in the heartland of America, and this very busy Saturday morning as we lace them up for a full weekend of football. The NFL kicks off tomorrow. Regular Sunday games. Of course, the Thursday game's in the book. Today, the big game. Lafayette is that the game we're talking about? Big D, I missed you, buddy. It's been at least what time we get to back here at midnight, 2 o'clock.
We packed here around midnight and cleaned out the van so Joe wouldn't have Cheeto boxes and gum wrappers. So.
Yeah, well, we left the spoiled milk in there for him, but short night for us, but a really quick night because I couldn't sleep because I was recapping 62 points and. Of all the numbers we were given last night, the 563 yards of rushing offense, a number that stands out to me is 14 points. Now, we know they scored 21.
Right.
But 14 points with Kak Mariski and Jungling in that offense.
Has averaged 45 on the season so far. I know it's young and early, but still impressive. Just a great defensive effort out of the Blue Demon squad last night to be able to contain and control a very, very good Pellet Christian Eagle team.
Well, you know, the reason I brought you in here today was not to talk about Albia football, because that's all we ever do is talk Albia football. We're going to talk some Albia football, but here towards the end of the hour, we got Tom Kakert and Paul Clark, Iowa State, and I've got to get your angle, because I know, see, I'm an honest man.
Yeah.
Not too smart, but at least a halfway honest man, in that I know I am very black and gold colored in my vision of the world, and so I'm going to allow our audience to get a little bit of that Ronald McDonald, ketchup and mustard stained prism of a view.
Well, more importantly than that, it's more that, you know, just look at the records. I mean, tell me what's happened.
And I picked
the winner year in and year out. So it's unbiased is where it's coming from on my side. You know, I am a Cyclone fan, but I'm truly unbiased. I'll pick from the head, not the heart, like you would.
I've got a bigger heart. Hey, let's take a look at some of those games from last night. Sheraton with a win, 3-0 on the season. Congratulations, Charger, and former Hawkeye TJ. I'm looking for today when he's a former Hawkeye, probably playing in the NFL. But TJ Hawkinson and the Sheraton Chargers, 35-21 over Sadell. It was the Rockets with Coach Bear's first win of the season, 24-13 over West Marshall. Moravia, and Coach Denny Whitlow is going to stop by at the bottom half of the hour. A win last night, a huge win for the Mohawks, 30-24, the final score there. It was Belle Plaine getting by North Mahaska, 48-15. Iowa City, Regina, just keep reloading, 52-6 over Signature Kyoto. Ottumwa with a big win, a field goal kick, a 55-yard field goal attempt, and at the end of the game, with a personal foul, allow them with a 15-yard penalty to re-kick, and they take advantage of it.
They do it with no time on the clock. They get the win there. Great job out of Coach Mason, his first year at the Ottumwa Bulldogs, and 3-0 on the season.
20-18, the final score there. PCM, a district rival, 42-14 over another district rival in Centerville. It was Davis County losing to CMB last night. CMB is for real, 52-20, the final score there. Oskaloosa. With a defeat last night, a really difficult day, a week for Oskaloosa, and our prayers go out to the entire Oskaloosa and Tyler Sash family, 49-6, the final score there. Melcher Dallas is the victim of the Twin Cedar Sabres, 68-8, the final score there. Mormon Trail gets by Seymour, 68-12. It was a Bedford 55-12 winner over Southeast Warren. Pekin gets by Danville, 20-17. Indianola continues to show that they've got a promising team, 20-10, the final score there. Knoxville on a roll, 43-26 over Fairfield. And it was Norwalk getting by Carlisle, 23-16. And Winfield Mount Union, 44-0 over Cardinal. Let's look at some of the games from last night. And Dan, we have no time to waste here this morning. Let's get right at it. And
we got
the head coach of the Albia Blue Demons, Coach Jerry Staten. First of all, Coach, I want to give a shout out, Dan, before we get to Coach here. You know, how about the facilities there at PCM or at Pella Christian last night and the way they treated us up there in the press box, first class all the way?
From the moment we got there, nothing but hospitable. And, you know, sometimes we come in and we've got a lot of, not only on the coaching side, but we come with a lot of equipment and gear on the radio side. And it's a little overwhelming for a lot of these other teams. And Pella Christian, all the staff and support, they're just a great job and very receptive and very very much the gracious host from way early, hour and a half before kickoff until after the game, you know, until we'd wrapped up. So hats off to them and appreciate all the treatment we received.
First-class operation, Coach, and it was two first-class programs going at last night. Beautiful night for football. You know, Coach, as I opened with the comments with Dan, you know, the 563, that's an enormous number. The 62 points, an enormous number. But the way your defense played against an outstanding athletic offensive front line, a tremendous receiving core, a very quick back, and then to have the arm and the strength of Kaczmarinski and to hold them down like you guys did, that's really some impressive stuff.
Well, our defense was playing lights out. They really had to defend a running attack that was quite potent. Levi Jungling is hard to stop when he's catching the ball and hard to stop when he's running the ball. And it's a tribute to our defensive line, our linebackers, and our secondary that we're able to hold them down. You can't stop them, great athletes like that. David Kaczmarinski is a Division I athlete, and when he got injured, that certainly hampered them on both sides of the ball. But while he was healthy and playing, they were a very potent team. And first class all the way. I know them from the inside, not just the outside, and I could see my thumbprint on the program, and it felt good to see some of the traditions that we started there carrying over. They gave a cheer to their fans, and they were calling out our formations and even our plays by name, which is a tribute to their defensive guys who kept their old playbooks and turned to page 3 and see this play, page 1, yep, there's that play. And but they were very gracious in defeat. When you walked the line to shake hands, it was an actual handshake. They looked in the eyes and they wished you well on the rest of the season, and that is reflective of their head coach. And Coach Kaczmarinski was on my staff when I was there, and he's a first-class guy, and we have a lot of respect for that program and those players.
You know, Coach, you talk about the game last night, and there's lots of bright things there, but I want to go to that defensive unit and the defensive line. You know, when you got Trevor Blackford, who was one of our pregame interviews, talking about the speed that he's picked up by getting himself in better shape. And, you know, last night I got him down as a part of in seven tackles, and Brendan Bassett is getting in on 8. And, you know, a good job up front, because they spread that line out so far that you've really got to stay true to your assignment up front in the trenches there, because Kaczmarinski can tuck and run. You know, talk about the discipline that you really instill on all the guys, and I've just mentioned just a few, but all the guys on how to play their assignment and really keep them lined up where they need to be.
Well, in our program, we encourage players to be multi-sport athletes, and this is another case of where wrestling has helped a young man in his football playing. And Trevor lost some weight, he gained some quickness and agility, and in wrestling, it's one-on-one on the mat, and in football, and it's one-on-one on the linemen as they're trying to do their battle on the line of scrimmage. And you know, our track athletes really stand out. And we're very happy that we are a school that has players that play football and also do other sports. And on defense, you got to be able to run. And on defense, you got to be able to take the guy that's got the ball to the ground. And we got called for unnecessary roughness on one play on Carter Isley. But, you know, Carter had a hold of the guy, and the guy wouldn't stop running, so he did a kind of a wrestling throw, which wrestling is okay to do.
That looked like a hay bale being thrown into the barn, Coach.
We had to get him down on the ground, and the kid wouldn't stop running. And so that was kind of a questionable call. It looked really bad, but in wrestling, you do that all the time. You throw people around. So
get 2 points for that.
Yeah. So anyway, I thought our defense rose to the occasion and held a very dangerous team. Mm-hmm. They'd been scoring a lot of points and putting a lot of yards in the bank in the games prior, and we had to bring our A game and be ready to play football from play one.
Well, it was the high-potent offense when it did get the football, and right from the get-go, the defense gave the offense a short field after an INT by Blake Bulldog Lawless. Three plays later, this play unveiled for Albie's first score of the night.
Down 10 for Albie. Here's a fake handoff. Rolling back is a Bear. Throws it into the end zone. Gannon Osing. Touchdown, Albie. Gannon Osing from Bear. Touchdown, Albie. The tight end released off that corner. Got it in the flat, Dan, and the big body of Gannon Osing was able to rumble that thing in for a Blue Demon touchdown. Touchdown, Albie. A Senate funeral home touchdown. How about that, Stuart?
Coach, just an impressive play once again. Gannon Osing. And you know, as we go through the night, we'll go through some of these highlights. The number of places you guys are able to go and turn to get to production is just outstanding. But Gannon Osing continues to improve and impress. His blocking last night at times was fantastic. And of course, he's showing that he's pretty agile for a big guy.
And he's also a great leader on this team. And he's really letting his light shine out upon others. And the more it shines on others, the more it shines back on him. That's just the way we look at things, and his blocking is very important to what we do, and he can also catch and run the football. But I look at different plays that even Pella Christian made. The Levi Jungling stopped probably three touchdown passes playing his safety position, and very difficult to bring a kid like that down when he's got the ball. So that makes us up our game and make sure that we're locking up on tackles and doing the things that we need to do. And everybody has a contribution to make. The tight end, of course, is a blocker most of the time, but then he gets out on pass patterns, and that boy can catch the ball. And when he gets it, he's hard to bring down. So the interior linemen on offense don't get a lot of attention unless they don't do something right, and then they get a lot of attention. But these kids all have found their spot. They communicate to each other, and between plays, series, the defense will get on their strategy board, and they're talking about how we're going to defend this and what we got to do, adjustment here, and this offense doing the same thing. What's their scheme? And the team will have maybe two, possibly three schemes to stop your offense, but they don't have more than that, and you have to figure out what their scheme is, and then you attack that. It's kind of a little bit like playing chess, knocking the pieces down instead of just moving them.
Well, five, if I have this right, Dan, you got the stats in front of you. Five Albia players rushed for touchdowns last night.
Yeah, just impressive. Like I say, you can go with different looks, different variety from that field. Well, and Coach talked about it. You got two or three schemes to defend it. How are you going to do that against five?
Exactly. And, you know, they were really quick and fast defensively, and they were over-pursuing there early on, trying to take on Carter Isley. Boy, this coaching staff, you know, I'm already biased because I think they're the best. But this play right here by Hunter Weldon took advantage of what the defense was giving them.
Jenny Grubb. Reverse. Here's a reverse. Running with the ball. Hunter Weldon. The track speed. The 20. The 15. 10. 5. Take it to the house. Hunter Golden Foot Weldon on the reverse out of the timeout. And wow. Albia takes it to the house. Touchdown, Albia.
And that really was set up by the over pursuit of the defense and that speed. And you take speed and you throw speed at it. And a coach, we're going to run out of ways to describe how many weapons you have and how many different ways you guys go at it. But up above, one of the things that stood out to us, and we commented even off the air, was that your guys all night long, even when you got the big lead, your coaches are over there coaching and at the board, going over what to do, and it's just impressive that you guys have the kind of communication you do and the relationship you do as a staff, because that was a find right there. The defense was over pursuing, and you come back and counter with the reverse.
Well, we don't play the scoreboard, and if we were interested in running up the score, we could have left our number ones in the whole time, but we believe that we need to have some guys ready to play again next year as we tee up the ball. And we expect our backups, our reserves, to go out and play as hard as they can, and we don't expect a drop-off. In practice, we had one fumble last night by a reserve back, and in practice, we are going to try to play and practice on a high level. And those guys, when they have the number ones in front of them, should be watching and taking advantage of the learning opportunity. And Our three backs averaged 12.0 yards per carry, which is phenomenal, but they didn't run up there and block a guy down and then run through the hole. There's some linemen up there in the pits doing battle and opening up holes with them. And we had a size advantage, and I think we had a little bit of a strength advantage as well.
Well, five different players ran for touchdowns, including this one right here out of the fullback, and nobody knew he had the ball, even including this broadcaster.
Our eye.
Got fourth down and short. We want to keep the ball in our hands, so you want to try to get this first down somehow, some way.
Here's a quick handoff. Running with it is Freshwater.
He's on his feet. Open.
Take it to the 20, the 10. Take it to the house. Touchdown, Albia. Brett Freshwater. The fake everyone thought, including this broadcaster. It was going to Carter Isley and Freshwater, Jimmy. He turned into a missile himself, and down the field he went.
Oh, he smelled it, brother. He smelled it. He went and got some of that. Yeah.
Very happy for that young man. Two-year starter on the defensive side this year. He's asked to come play fullback. He's doing a lot of hard.
Aaron Jimmy just makes me think of one thing, Coach, and that's the enthusiasm gap that was missing from game one. You know, there's been no lack of enthusiasm on that Blue Demon sidelines the last couple of weeks. Back to the play with the Brett Freshwater, though. You know, everyone was keen on Carter on that play, including Dan and I up above, and Brett shows that he's got the prowess. And, you know, he's starting to come in. You know, you can see he's three games in at starting fullback, you know, and to start to see the way that Carter is starting to really fill out his running and the rhythm of the offense. Brett's doing the same thing.
Well, I love the bear hugs that Jimmy the Bear gives me on the sidelines when we're having our interviews, and he does have enthusiasm, that's for sure. And the players have a little pool going, and they get a chocolate malt if they can fool the press box on which play we're running. And they said, we'll get Summers on this one. We'll give the ball to the fullback and make him think he's going to the tailback. And, ball handling and faking and misdirection plays, those are all part of what we do. And our job is to perfect those moves and make their linebackers have their heads looking around to see where the ball is. And Brett's coming on as a blocker. You didn't mention his blocking, and he is a fullback's got to be a ball carrier and a blocker, and Brett is really doing a fine job for us this year. We're very proud of his progress, and he's a very, very coachable young man and a good leader. And at the strategy board, he's one of the guys we can count on to give us an idea of what's going on. He knows his football.
Blocking and fake handoffs, that might describe this next play right here.
Get that 200 mark.
41-7 Albia, offset eye. Here's a fake handoff. Bear trying to roll to the right side. Gets a block from Yarkowski on his way across midfield. 45, 40, 35, 30. Down the sidelines. 20, 10. Take it to the house.
Wow.
Touchdown. Blake Bear with a seal block there by Yarkowski. How about that, Big C? Yarkowski, all that 280 pounds of him, got to that corner, sealed that end, and Albia was off to the races, and you're not going to catch
Coach, he looked like Yarkowski looked like Carter Isley out there. He got out there in a hurry, and, he has to seal that block, so he's got to get his body turned into the defenders, and he showed off his quickness and athleticism of 280 pounds rumbling down the field. If I was a linebacker, I'd want to get out of the way quickly.
Well, Yark thinks he's better looking than Isley, but that's the debate that goes on. But if you notice, when there's an interception and the ball is taken back a long way, there are guys that are downfield blocking. If you're a pass receiver and they throw the ball to somebody else, then you immediately proceed to the ball and get a block or screen a guy out. And the same way on offense, if the play is going the other way, you're not supposed to stand and watch. You're supposed to beat your feet across the field and trying to get a block or shield somebody off. And that's the starting blocks for sensational runs. The guy with the ball gets all the credit, and most of the people look at that person, but they don't look at the what's going on around. And if you get a chance to watch a play again, you can see different individuals getting across the field and setting up a wall or making a block or screening a guy off. You don't have to knock him down. Somebody just be in his way.
Coach, 563 yards of rushing offense and 265 Carter Isley. He really just continues to impress. You know, one of the things that we've seen all year, he just carries people downfield. I mean, he really just carries an entire wall of defenders. They can bring 11 to the football, and it's still not enough. But there are times last night when that offensive line gave him holes to run through where no one was touching him, and then he got to show off his speed. There was a couple of plays where he broke loose for 30-40-yard touchdowns, and he was running away from people.
Well, he's pretty shifty, and it can change direction, and there's a lot of body mass there that people have to bring down, and a lot of defensive backs aren't strong enough to get a strong kid like that down on the ground. But I think it's important to remember that there are more than one guy doing the play, and 560 yards is nice, but we're capable of better than that, and good, better, best. We don't let a rest tell our good is better and our better is best. We can do better. And when our job is to improve each and every day at practice and, of course, in the games.
You know, Coach, you talked about the yards per carry, which is a great stat, and I think it first off does is an attribute to the offensive line. But for Carter Isley, are we going to create a stat for players per carry? You know, how many he carries with him? There was one time there were literally four guys on him, and he's still running downfield.
Well, he put on quite a bit of weight. The recruiters were telling him that if he's going to be a college linebacker, he has to be 30 pounds heavier. So he gained 30 pounds, and I said to him one day, Carter, you think that's going to slow you down? He says, well, Coach, it might, but when they catch me, they still got to get me down the ground. So I guess that's the kind of attitude you want your running backs to have.
Coach, another busy week for you guys, and probably the one of the busiest, if not the busiest week of the year. And this can be a distraction week, and that's homecoming. You guys have been able to really overcome that in the past and really focus, but I have a feeling that might just be the word of the week is focus.
Well, homecoming is one of my favorite times of the year because they do all kinds of things that are important to the school and the kids get involved in it, but it can be a distraction if you let it. But we all have control over our own minds, and WIN is an acronym that what's important now. And the important thing at 7:30 on Friday is going to be playing football, and it won't matter who the queen is. It won't matter if you get to ride around in a convertible and wave the little hand thing that the queens all do. Carter's been practicing that in case he gets the ride. But if you're not able to focus, if you don't take care of your business, bad things happen to you. If you're really bought into what's going on, you'll be ready to play when the gun is up. And if you can't do that, then you don't really deserve to be the victor in the game. And we'll do all we can to be a part. I want the players to be a part of this. I'm not going to ask them, don't be involved in it. There's a Powder Puff game going to take place sometime, and the guys are involved in that. And as long as they keep in mind that at the end of all the festivities, there's a team coming to town that would like to take our number, and we have to be ready to play on play one. Every week there's a new challenge, and you have to be ready for the challenge. That's why if you can win the championship, it feels so good, because week after week you met the challenge. And we've got a big challenge coming up in North Polk.
Well, flying colors last night, an impressive win for the Blue Demons, Dan. And I really think there's only one question left to ask Coach at this point. Because, you're going to have all your stats. I know what you're going to come up with, Stocker, and you're going to have all these websites. But I've got a Hall of Fame coach sitting next to me that he's probably given Coach Ferentz all the scripts through the game. Coach, how do you see today's game going?
Well, I really like both teams. I like both coaches. I have friends on both coaching staffs. So this is a game where I just watch the game and enjoy the play and the rivalry. I have to say, though, that the Hawkeyes have had a hard time winning in that stadium, and home field advantage is going to mean something. I expect a close game, and I'll feel happy for the winner, and I'll feel a little bit bad for the team that goes home, but that's just nature of the game. So it's going to be fun to watch.
I think Coach just said, better get your Rolaids and Toms.
I think he just declared he's running for office. I mean, that's a great political answer.
That is tremendous. And that's why he's a head coach.
Staten in 2016.
We're going to take a quick timeout. We've got the three amigos here in the office. Coach Farrington is showed up. You know, I was worried he'd been missing in action, but we've got him in here. Of course, after 62 points, why wouldn't you have him in here? Coach Huber, he's been practicing his parade wave, and Coach Hill. And we're going to come right back after this quick timeout. Denny Whitlow's on deck. Hawkeye, Cyclone fans, you also. Coach Tom Kakert and Paul Clark going to check in with us as we move along. You're listening to the Coach's Corner. Don't go anywhere.
We'll be right back with the Coach's Corner. Keep your dial at 96.7 FM.
Now that school is back in session, you may have questions about student loans or looking for ways to earn some extra cash. Don't worry, we've got you covered at Community First Credit Union. Stop in today and become a Your Voice member. This is just for the 13 to 25 crowd, and best of all, it's free. Checking with advantages, free online and mobile banking, a $10 iTunes gift card, and so much more. For more information, check out our website at seefirstyourvoice.com. Get smart with your money and have a say in your financial future. Federally insured by the NCUA.
A warm, home-like atmosphere awaits those at Oakwood Nursing and Rehab Center. Our progressive, professional staff offer 24-hour skilled nursing rehabilitation and outpatient services. We have a comprehensive care plan in place for each patient's individual needs to offer only the highest quality treatment programs. Our interdisciplinary team meets with each resident to determine an all-inclusive care plan. My name is Rachel Gooden, and I'm the new administrator at Oakwood Nursing and Rehab Center, just south of the square in Albia. Call 641-932-7105.
Hi, this is Jason Summers with Summers Insurance in Albion and our new location in Sheraton on West Court across from Hy-Vee. At Summers Insurance, let our experienced staff of qualified agents help you sort through the confusion of insurance and get the coverage you need. At Summers Insurance, we have a large selection of companies to choose from so we can shop and you can save. At Summers Insurance, give us a call today, toll free, 800-932-7163. Summers Insurance, we shop, you save.
The Tharp Funeral Home in Albia has a tradition of serving families in Albia and the surrounding areas. Being locally owned and operated, I'm proud to say that my staff and I were born and raised in this community and are honored to be able to serve the people in our community at their time of need. Let us help you make an informed decision at any time. I'm Richard Tharp. Call Tharp Funeral Home at 932-3129.
The structure of the human body, especially the spine and its relationship to function, can be impacted by the physical nature of accidents, falls, poor posture, and injuries. Chiropractic addresses the relationship of function to a well-adjusted spine. Athletes recognize the value of a well-tuned body in all competitive sports. Dr. Mike Judge of Judge Chiropractic hopes you'll stop in if you need an adjustment to keep you in tip-top shape and wants to wish good luck to all the athletes and coaches of the Albia teams.
It's their biggest sale ever at Crow Row Antiques in New Sharon. Truckloads of pumpkins, lots of fall unique wreaths, fall candles, yummy treats, cider, store full of merchandise. As a matter of fact, it's taking two stores for this merchandise and picker sale in New Sharon. Loads of old stuff, antiques, rustic, dusty, broken items. Come on in and say, fixer upper items. It's going to be a lot of fun this week at Crow Row Antiques, and the building right across the street. It's on right now.
Looking for a scooter with great style and economy? CRJ Performance in Ottumwa, and check out the Zuma 125. It features push-button start and fuel injection to get you around town or wherever. Or the Zuma 50F and new sporty Zuma 50X with roomy seat, locking storage, and an estimated 132 miles per gallon. Visit RJ Performance in Ottumwa today. Fuel economy estimates based on U.S. EPA exhaust emission certification data. Your actual mileage will vary based on road conditions, how you ride and maintain your vehicle, accessories, cargo, and operator or passenger weight.
Goal to go here for the Blue Demons. First down, goal to go. Here's Isley over the left side again. Sidesteps the defender. In for the Blue Demon. Touchdown, touchdown, Albia. Carter Isley with the Senate Funeral Home touchdown. And Dan Carter now with four touchdowns in this first half. Wow, three touchdowns.
It's just impressive. You know, just a good hard run, two big runs. And then this one was a nice run set up and then a nice short power run, but just well executed. Again, it starts at the point of attack with that line, just really doing their job and adjusting as the game has gone along.
We're live with the Coach's Corner from Community First Credit Union.
All right, you can take the posters down. We found him. the MIA missing in action. Coach Farrington, I told Dan when we got in the van last night, I said, I know who's coming in this morning. Coach Farrington, I know he's going to come out of his hiding. It takes a lot of offensive points to get the old coach in here. 62 points last night of this offense, and I can see why he'd want to come in, Coach.
Well, you know, one time I'd show up if there was just 14 points scored by the Demons, but we got to up our standards a little bit. So, you know, if we're scoring 60, I'll show up and give a couple of shout-outs to guys.
Well, we'll talk about the varsity stuff here in a second. We nearly ran out of words last night to be at 62 points. There were a lot of things to talk about. But talk about this freshman team. I know that you got a key responsibility in bringing this freshman team along, and it's so important, the development and keeping kids out. And one thing that that you do very well is you make it fun for the kids and fun with production. And it looks like you guys are getting it done again this year.
We got quite a few guys out in the freshman team, and Coach Brad Beckwith is new with us this year. He's taking care of the defense, and he's an excited guy. He's from Louisiana, so he brings a special flavor to the coaching staff meetings and the practice field. Kind of got to be there to enjoy that. But we got a lot of guys working hard, and we're trying to get as many kids in the game as we can. And it's just exciting to watch those kids as they develop because, you know, we run a lot of the same basic plays, but you know, we have a focus even more on some special plays that we run. And, you know, as time goes on, they just get a little bit better at each week, and it's neat to see their progress.
You know, it's got to be exciting for you. You've done this for several years now, and then to watch these guys come up at that varsity level, you know, is that something you try to focus on a little bit as to where these kids might mature to and where they can kind of develop in? Is that part of the process working with those freshmen?
Yeah, I know. You know, there's kids that they, as they change from, you know, elementary school, I know you guys played the fifth and sixth grade and then seventh and eighth grade. And then, you know, somewhere in the ninth and tenth, they sometimes their bodies change and they get bigger or they get faster or, you know, they get stronger. And, you know, you look at like Trent Garver, he's been in the weight room a lot since last season, and he was a pretty good sized kid as a freshman last year, but now he's a starting offensive tackle on a pretty good offensive football team. And that's the kind of thing we're looking for. So, yeah, there are occasions Dawson Hermson, for instance, was playing offensive line last year. I thought, you know, he's a pretty fast kid, so we moved him into a back position. Just an example, you know, you move kids around, try to put them in the spots where they can have the most success, and that's an ongoing thing. We still change kids even when they get to high school because, you know, they're young men. They change, and that's the exciting part about it, and that's also a challenge as a coach.
Well, making changes, how about last night you guys able to see some of the things that were coming defensively and the adjustments? I thought the reverse right away, that was a really good indicator. You guys had seen something, you know, the flow of their defense and allowed you to take advantage of that.
Well, Coach Staten had that call. He sees those things down there a little bit better. I'm a little nervous on things like reverses, but
now let's be honest. You were at the concession stand looking for something to eat, Coach. They didn't have anything in the press box.
I got that early because their concession stand's on the wrong side. You can't order and watch the game at the same time. So I do that early and plan ahead a little bit. I don't usually do that, but you know, you can see things open up where I was, and their press box was way high compared to most, and so. You could see that immediately, and then I did get to see it on TV a couple of times, and it's actually the up for play of the week on Channel 5, so if everybody gets on there and votes, check it out, Hunter Weldon for play of the week there. But you could see that their whole team just shifted over, and all of a sudden they all turned and saw Hunter running the ball, and they're like, oh, and they didn't even bother really to chase him because just the one boy, Levi, was chasing him, but the rest of them just kind of gave up because they were so faked out, and they were just all over there busy trying to tackle Carter.
You know, I think that's what's interesting, too. We saw that all night long on that play, certainly. But you develop those tendencies, you know, where we're coming. We're going for a couple of possessions. We're going the right side, Carter Isley, you know. And you saw a hole in maybe that defensive side where we could exploit. Carter was able to bust through and then scored a couple of times. And then you take advantage of what other teams just get their mindset. You know, Brett Freshwater's touchdown was another one. You know, we come in and we were doing passing plays before. They're trying to work on the passing attack, but needed to get that first down. And so, you know, both of us were like, okay, Carter's going to get the first down. That'll be good. You know, and that's what we got the team back in. And nope, you're playing those tendencies. So it's got to be fun having – you've got those different weapons and tools, and they're all good. I mean, Blake Bear, who ran a fast touchdown – and yet isn't considered one of the fastest guys on the team, but he would be for most teams. He's just lightning quick. How fun is that to know you've got all these different weapons that at any time you can use?
Well, yeah, and it's not just the different weapons. We didn't even have an agreement on that play call because I did want to give the ball to Carter Isley, and I got voted down by Coach Dykstra, the line coach. Like, no, run the fullback. So,
well, I think I know he'll be getting the call the next time.
So I'm like, I had to apologize to Coach Dykstra for not believing in his play. But, you know, that's just an example of – you know, what we do as a coaching staff and as a team, we got different people's ideas, and we kind of meld those all together, and then, you know, ultimately Coach State makes those calls. But yeah, and then we have all those weapons. Those kids, you know, Brett Freshwater was a pretty good athlete. He's pretty fast. You know, you talked about Yarkoski getting around the corner, and there, you know, Romanko gets around the corner, McInnish. Those guys pull, and there's a lot of things going on, and teams can't just key on one guy because we do have all those other weapons. And you know, speaking of our guys, those are plays I think were like 20-yard plays last year, and now they're 40- and 50-yard plays. Yeah. So I think overall as a team, not just in the backs but also up front, we're also a lot quicker and of course, stronger than we were last year.
Well, Coach, I got to get to Coach Huber here, but I got to ask you the question. And I know you're going to, you know, Coach Dayton's running for political office, but I know that you're just running. So who's going to win today?
Well, you know, I'm going to go with the home team. I think the Iowa State Cyclones are going to show up big in their game.
Go State!
It doesn't, you know, I don't mind. Nobody's going to remember what I say anyway. So I'm going to think Cyclones Traitor. By 14.
Traitor.
Adelaide.
Truth hurts, man. Truth hurts.
Going with the head, not the heart. That's what I like.
Boy, little tiny hearts in you guys. All right, Coach Huber, you know, 563 yards of rushing, and Coach is saying the best is yet to come.
Yeah, you know, we did a great job last night, but hopefully these backs keep continuing to develop every week, and we just keep getting better.
You say backs, and see, Dan, that's what's impressive, backs.
Yeah.
You know, you got five guys that score touchdowns, and we've talked about Freshwater, and we talked about Blake Barrett can run the football, and, of course, Carter Heisley. You don't need any introduction. Bryce Leshen and Joe Barry.
Joe Barry, at the end. Strong, fast runner.
And Blake Bulldog Lawless, he didn't look like a bulldog running out there. He looked like a thoroughbred as he got in that secondary, and he just ran away from people. So, Coach, I think you got a pretty easy job, to be honest with you.
I wish it was easier than that, Jason. You know, I'm pretty big on fundamentals, and when we fumble, I don't like that, so we work really hard.
Well, you got one of the two out of the right, Coach. You got the pretty not, the big maybe, but I just got to give you a hard time this morning. You came in with a full cup of coffee, and I think you needed two.
Yeah, it was a long night last night. So. No, our backs do, but that's the thing. We try to get better every week, and, you know, if we make mistakes, we try to fix them throughout the week just to improve. And, you know, I was happy last night Michael Terrell got in. You know, we had an incident, and he got in, and he had some great blocks and had a big run on one of our counter plays. And I got Joe Barry in for the first time last night, and he comes off with a big run, and Bulldog, and, you know, all of them did a great job. I can't say enough that they did fantastic last night.
You know, that, we hear the players talking, you know, in our pregame interviews week in and week out. You know, I think that's a testament to the reps. You know, they all talk about they work both offense and defense, and you're getting these guys a lot of reps during practices. And so it seems like they're ready. You know, when you mentioned Michael Terrell, you know, he gets a chance to get in there. He looked like he was ready to go. I mean, it wasn't like he was nervous or didn't know what he's doing. Joe Barry, a sophomore coming in there, you know, just was ready to roll. You know, and that's got to be exciting to know that those guys are paying attention in practice and are able to bring that to the field.
Yeah, they do, and they do a good job. We get, you know, when we're doing individual time, we break it down for two or three groups, and we run a lot of plays even at individual time just so they get the reps in of plays. And then, you know, we still do our fundamentals every day, but we have enough time that allows that we can do that. So,
you know, it's a pretty easy sell for me as a coach. You know, you want to do the individual reps, and the kids are, you know, they want to go out and scrimmage each other. And, you know, it's pretty easy for me to say, hey, you know, and I did get to spend a little time with you, Coach, and it was really a blessing for me. But to be able to see the attention that guys like Carter Isley, who, you know, he's all state, and every day in practice he's getting the same things, and it just makes an easier conversation. But the fact that we spend so much time on those details is the reason, I think, why you're getting the execution you're getting from your back. So they're paying attention to the details.
Yeah, they are. And they all strive to get better every day, especially, like, you know, the varsity guys. They want to excel. And even the second group of guys, they're just trying to get better. And they know that's what we do to make ourselves better. It's a lot of reps and a lot of talking about what we need to do to fix the problems that we do have.
Well, Dan, I'm going to give a couple compliments to the staff, even though, you know, they're a real rough group, you know. But truly, you know, I get to spend some time with Coach Huber and the details he spends. And then Coach Dykstra came over and worked with our 7th and 8th grade offensive line, took the time out. You know, he's busy and his prep and spent time with them. Yep. And then the other day, Monday, we had short practice for our junior high program. 2 days we didn't get to practice and a very short schedule to get ready for our first game. And Monday night, we're putting the special teams in, and I see Coach Hill standing with Coach Dayton, and I know they're in a pretty good conversation, but I still wanted to borrow him, and Coach Hill came over and helped us put in our return, which there's a play for everything in our program,
right.
And the details that go into it. He came over and he helped us put it in.
And how'd that work
out? Details. Well, you know, it was a little rough going. We took the first kickoff back for a touchdown, and doggone it, if our two guys wouldn't have been so unselfish trying to block for each other, we would have had our second. And, you know, we had to have a return again, which was a disappointment because that means they scored once. But the second one goes back for 80 yards and only comes up short because we were unselfish trying to block for each other and tripped over each other. And that was kudos to Coach Hill for coming over. Thank you so much, Coach. I had to tell the whole world how that, you know, because you guys do pay attention to those details and you teach it so well that it becomes executable.
Well, you have to take care of details, and thanks, Jason. I appreciate that. And anytime, I'm willing to help out and try to teach what we do at our level, at the younger level, so that they're ready to go when they get there. But, you know, you can have a game plan, and we know how we wanted to execute it. Bottom line is the kids got to go out and do what they're supposed to do. And, you know, with special teams, and again, they were pretty good again last night. We had 10 kickoffs, which, you know, that's a lot.
Do you do that many in practice?
Well, you had to go back to.
We do. Honest to God, we run three scout teams, and it's scout team, scout team, scout team, and we hammer the special teams, and, you know, sometimes they're a little bit winded, but they're going to be winded in the game too. So we do rep as much as we can rep, and, you know, it was nice to see out of those kickoffs. Again, our goal is to hold them inside the 30, and we were fortunate enough to do that again last night. And we had a couple guys, you know, that were playing a little bit of offense or coming right off the defense, and they say, Coach, I need a break. And, boy, Zach Armstrong, he ran out there when it was his he had the opportunity to get out there, and he ended up making two tackles on kickoff last night. Yeah. So, you know, it's just nice to see. You know, in the past, it's special teams, and, oh, I'm going to take it off. I'm an offensive player or a defensive player, but, boy, I tell you what, the culture sure has changed when Coach Staten came and getting our special teams going, because now it's almost like a privilege to be on a special team. It's
well, good that trickles down. I mean, we'll stay with the varsity, but that trickles down to the youth program. I mean, kids want to be I want to be on kickoff. I want to be on kick return.
Yeah, they're pouting it when the coach doesn't put them on there, you know, and I'm trying to find ways, and, you know, so it's an easy sell for me. And you made my life a whole lot easier the rest of the season. There won't be any difficulty me getting them encouraged to go out there and block for somebody.
Yeah. No, but I tell you, if they miss their spot, they know they're done. They're next guy in, and you're done. You know, and like I say, we do work hard on it. We practice a special team every day, and Thursday we practice them all, and it's just a tribute to the kids and buying in. And
the other tribute I want to do is, you know, when they kicked off to us last night, there was never going to be a kick go downfield. No, they do not want your return guys. They would rather have us fall on it on the 45, give up excellent field position, than to let Hunter or Tony have a chance to do their magic. And talk about that. How special is that, knowing that there's so much respect given, not just to those two guys, which are very, very fast, but also all the guys out there blocking and doing their assignment?
Yeah, if you watch any of the game films from previous weeks, somebody's going to get knocked down. I mean, there's a lookout blocking, and it's one of those feet where you're vertical. They did kick one deep, and that was they were kicking from what, the 50-yard line?
45. They're 45. Yeah. Your guys is 45.
They were going for the touchback. That's the only reason it went deep.
And it went into the end zone. Yeah. But other than that, you're right. They were going to squib it, and we knew that from their first two games. And so we were saying, hey, if the ball bounces right to you, get to the wedge and get what you can get. But if not, we'll give the offensive ball at the 40-yard line, 35-yard line. I mean, heck, we like those odds.
Short fields worked out pretty nice for us. You know, going to the defensive side of the football, Coach, the defensive backfield, last night we knew that it may be the most difficult test for this defense. And, you know, you can preach assignment alignment football, and you can be putting your guys in their X and O spots in the right place. But to rep that and practice, and then to go out and do it against Jungling and Kakmarinski, and to really hold them to two touchdowns, that's impressive defensive backfield work.
Well, I tell you, it all starts with our defensive coordinator, Coach O'Duffer. You know, I know typically they put all the people that can't remember plays and where to line up from offense to on the defensive side, but Coach O'Duffer, I'm telling you what, he has a game plan, and I'll guarantee he's got one right now for North Polk. Just executes things very, very well. He sees the big picture, and then he passes it down to Coach Folkerts and Mick, and Beckwith and Crawl and myself, and, and here's what we want to do. Here's what we're going to try to exploit. It's hard to reproduce a jungling, and so we had a bright shirt for our jungling for the week, and we had a couple of them. Tyler Stringfellow, he's got some speed, and so we were throwing him out there, and when we were running with the freshmen, we were using Drew Winkie as jungling. But boy, I tell you, you just can't imitate a player like him, and he is very, very good, and I've got to give him all the credit in the world. But we do have a solid game plan every week, and again, it starts up front with our defensive line. When we get good pressure with our line, and we've got a couple backs, linebackers blitzing, and they drop back in the zone, and so it's kind of like running back, where defensive backs will get credit for the interceptions, but all the pressure's up front, and with our quick guys back there, you make one little mistake and it should get picked. And we had a couple more we should have had, but last night. But, we made some mistakes in the defensive backfield. And so the nice thing is you only give up 14, score 62, at least on the defensive side. We've still got room to improve. And that's a good feeling as a coach to know that you're not at where you want to be yet. And I think more importantly, I think it's the players know we're not where we want to be.
It's less important for you guys to believe it than the guys to believe it. And when you think you're great, you're going to miss being good. When you're wanting to be great, you got to be you got to be executing good. So, yep. Coach, hey, we got to run because we are so far behind. Imagine that. But I can't let you and Huber off the hook here. I'm hoping one of you guys will come through for me, Huber.
Hawks 21-14, roll Demon.
I'm a Hawk fan, true and true. It's going to be the Hawkeyes today.
I love your spirit. All right, we've got it unanimous here. It's the Hawks.
Unanimous, our mathematician.
Yes. We're going to come back and talk with Coach Danny Whitlow, and then the Hawks and the Cyclone Reports are going to check in, but we are running really fast here on the Coach's Corner. Don't go anywhere.
Jason Summers will return with Coach's Corner after a quick message from our sponsors.
Brighten your financial future with a certificate account from Community First Credit Union. For a limited time only, we're offering certificate account specials from a 9-month term with the rate of 0.90% APY to an 18-month term with the rate of 1.20% APY. Start growing your money today at CFirst. Apply online at c1stcu.com. APY is annual percentage yield, minimum balance of $15,000, rate subject to change at any time, federally insured by the NCUA.
The structure of the human body, especially the spine and its relationship to function, can be impacted by the physical nature of accidents, falls, poor posture, and injuries. Chiropractic addresses the relationship of function to a well-adjusted spine. Athletes recognize the value of a well-tuned body in all competitive sports. Dr. Mike Judge of Judge Chiropractic hopes you'll stop in if you need an adjustment to keep you in tip-top shape, and wants to wish good luck to all the athletes and coaches of the Albia teams.
It's their biggest sale ever at Krill Row Antiques in New Sharon. Truckloads of pumpkins, lots of fall unique wreaths, fall candles, yummy treats, cider, store full of merchandise. As a matter of fact, it's taking two stores for this merchandise and picker sale in New Sharon. Loads of old stuff, antiques, rustic, dusty, broken items. Come on in and say, fixer upper items. It's going to be a lot of fun this week at Crow Row Antiques and the building right across the street. It's on right now.
Give your clothes the care they deserve with the new Whirlpool Cabrio high-efficiency top-load washer and dryer. With 4.8 cubic feet of capacity, this washer offers enough space to wash more than 3 baskets of laundry in just one load. Precision Dispense Plus, along with 11 adaptive wash cycles, automatically sense and adjust to the size of your load, while only using the correct amount of water, providing you with the perfect combination of powerful cleaning and gentle fabric care. Paired with a Whirlpool Cabrio 7.6 cubic foot high-efficiency dryer, drying loads from your Cabrio washer is made easy. Advanced moisture sensing technology automatically ends the drying cycle to prevent overdrying, while the enhanced touch-up steam cycle uses steam to relax wrinkles and refresh clothes in as little as 20 minutes. When paired together, you can save over $3,300 in lifetime energy costs. So stop in today at Mick Furniture and Appliance on the west side of the square in Albion to see the full line of Whirlpool brand appliances. They're family owned and operated since 1960.
Dewey Motor Company in Albia is in need of your trade-ins.
That's right. Dewey Motor Company is paying top dollar for your trade-ins. Now's the perfect time to trade in your vehicle and get into a new one.
Plus, all new vehicles are tagged with the lowest price possible.
If you're thinking about a new vehicle and want to snag the best deal around, save some cold, hard cash and get the best trade-in for yours, get to Dewey Motor Company in Albia, your local Chevy and Buick dealer one block south of the Albia Square. Visit DUEAMotor.com.
Cindy's Beauty Hut has been in business for 44 years this month. Cindy is offering in-store specials all month to thank her loyal customers for a wonderful 44 years. Stop in and help Cindy celebrate 44 years this month. That's Cindy's Beauty Hut in Albia.
We're live with the Coach's Corner from Community First Credit Union.
Putting 2 hours of content in an hour and 45-minute segment that's an hour show, Dan. That's how we roll here on the Coach's Corner.
Whatever works, buddy.
I don't know if it works, but, man, we're doing it.
As long as Scotty gets the microphones open, man.
You know what? Scotty had he was a C-minus last night.
He's an A-plus in my heart.
Yeah, he's A-plus, and he might get an F here. But the good news is I think Millage is probably – well, I know he's in bed because – and he, you know, how about this?
Right.
You know, what a lightweight because we – come back to the studios after being on the road and on the Coach's Corner
driving,
midnight.
Driving and broadcasting.
And
multitasking.
And we show up here to the studio and it's ghost town. You know, he's gone home and in bed or in an alley somewhere passed out. We're not sure, but I know he's probably still sleeping. He is such a lightweight.
It's amazing.
Undedicated.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Oh, but
speaking of dedication,
we've got the coach Denny Whitlow in here after a big win last night. And Dan, you know, talking about special teams and, you know, we're driving back and Millage is holding the conversation with Coach Whitlow and you and I are trying to get in. He's got the mics down and he doesn't ask the important questions on how the win took place. But it sounds like the special teams were pretty special on Football Friday night over Moravia. Coach Whitlow, you know, because Joe couldn't ask, but it was a tight game all night long, and I think you guys were tied there for a long time. And then tell us about the final 51 seconds of the ball game.
Yeah, so we went down, we scored, and we were up by six. We didn't get the two-point conversion. They came back off of our kickoff, drove the ball down the field, and with 51 seconds left, they scored on fourth down. The kid scrambled probably, it seemed like, for 30 seconds. I know it wasn't that long, but it seemed like he'd scrambled around. We had him in his grasp. The kid, their quarterback, pulled out of it and found a wide open wide receiver on the opposite side of the field, and we just couldn't quite get to him. And I was a little bit nervous at that point in time that our boys were going to just kind of let down there, you know, took the wind out of their sails. But they called timeout for their two-point conversion, and we fired our boys up and said, hey, this is right here. We got to stop this. Coach Bickle, he's always, you know, you can always hear Coach Bickle no matter
yes,
where,
<you can.
laughs> wherever you're at. And he had those boys fired up, and our defensive line pinned their ears back, went in, and they tried to pass a little slant pass to the inside, and our linebacker stepped up, knocked it down. So they were going to kick off to us, and we were able to get the kickoff. And right before the kickoff, I radioed to Rob Campbell, the guy that I got up in the booth on the offense. I said, man, it'd just be nice to be able to end this thing at this point in time and just run this sucker back for a touchdown. And by golly, we did. We kicked it to Chase Snyder, one of our tailbacks. He was our up guy, and they kicked a little bit short, and we called a wide side punt. He took it down the sideline. It wasn't even touched. Our special team boys on kick return did an awesome job. They picked up their guys they were supposed to, and Chase went right down the Wayne sideline waving at him as he ran into the end zone.
Well, that's how you finish a football game right there, Dan.
Oh, absolutely. 30-24, the final score. What a great win. And, you know, in a game where we were anticipating, because both these teams coming in scoring close to 65 points a clip each night, and just two offensive juggernauts, and it turns into a defensive battle, which has just had to be a great game.
That's one on special teams.
Yeah,
you know that.
Yeah.
But coach, that's, you know, to me as a coach, the offense is a really good indicator. You got a good football team, but the defense tells us whether or not you have a team that can go out there and win championships, because you're going to face teams as you get through the season. Those really good teams like Wayne are going to be able to put points up on the board, and but to be able to shut them down says, hey, you know, we can we have a way to stop other teams and really compete at a high level.
Right, we knew Wayne coming in was a high-scoring football team. They got we call him the little Kiefer last year. As most of you know, they had the older Kiefer boy who set a lot of records, things like that. And this is his brother playing starting quarterback for him this year, and he played a lot last year. And we knew that he was good, and that's who they were going to give the ball to, and we were able to key on him some. But they've got a returning quarterback as well, and he has some pretty good receivers, and Coach Bickle did a really good job calling the game last night defensively, and we spent a lot of time this past week breaking down game film, and we felt pretty confident going in, you know, what they were going to run and, you know, what we had to do to beat them. And Coach Bickle this year has implemented a deal in practice when we're running our varsity D against Scout Team O. Once we have the our scout team kid wrapped up, every player has to be there within 3 seconds. He just starts counting out 1, 2, 3, and any kid that's not there has to drop and give 5 push-ups. And that's really, you know, been big for us to just go. And we're gang tackling better than we have all year. And, you know, we'll get one or two guys there holding them up, and we're looking to strip the football. And we caused Wayne to eight fumbles last night. So we recovered eight fumbles last night against him, and that's just our boys going and just playing hard the entire time from whistle to whistle. And I can't be more proud of a group of boys I am with this group right now.
Well, I don't want you bragging up Coach Bickle too much. He's got a big head. He'll just explode. But thanks, Coach Bickle. You gave me an idea for my defense. So, you know, this team, Coach, you know, these seniors really, they had to play 4 years of football. You know, as freshmen, they were really called in. You guys, after that really tremendous season, you had a lot of seniors, and they graduated, and it really called on now your seniors this year as freshmen to really come in and last 4 years. You guys have been really playing a lot of young kids.
You know, yeah, that's right. Breyer Cochran, you know, he, as a freshman, about two games in, our kid that was going to be our quarterback got injured, so Breyer had to play his entire freshman year almost. You know, and at that point in time, Breyer wasn't 100 pounds soaking wet, and he got beat on a lot, you know, and that's saying some character for a kid that was like that to even come back out after, you know, that year. But he, you know, stuck it out, now basically almost a four-year starter for us, a quarterback. Avery Waybill, he's played defensive back for us all 4 years, and has been in on a offense as a wide receiver all 4 years off and on. Trevor Cormany's been in there the last 2 or 3 years as a linebacker. He hasn't had a chance to play much as a running back. He's been behind Gunnar Miller the last couple of years, who we lost last year, but Trevor stepped in there offensively now and is doing a great job as our fullback. And then we've got Alex Cloyd, who's been a 3-year starter. He had a start as a sophomore as a lineman for us, and he's our center, and he really leads everything right there. And then Sam Klaus, he plays a tailback for us, and Sam's been in and out the last couple of years, you know, playing a lot of tailback the last 2 years. And, you know, all five of those boys have had to, you know, see the bad times, but right now they're cherishing these good times. I know it's still early in the season. We're only 3-0 and 1-0 in the district. We got a long ways to go, but, you know, it's just nice to see these boys reaping the rewards of putting in the hard work and doing what us coaches were asking them to do.
Again, we're talking with head coach from Moravia, Denny Whitlow, victorious last night, 30-24 against Wayne. And talk a little bit more about what that means to have a victory against a rival going down the highway there, the west there in Wayne, and early in the season like that, and how you can really build with that, because you've got a team that you really want to do some fun things with, that, not only in the regular season, but hopefully in that postseason, go beyond. And talk about how a win this early against a really, really good team can help build and work, you know, practices, what you anticipate in practice this week and next week's opponent and everything.
Right. You know, you guys were talking about how we've been scoring a lot of points. The last two teams that we've played, Tri-County and English Valleys, you know, they're just having a little bit down years this year. They're kind of where we were at the last couple of years, just a lot of younger guys playing. So we didn't feel like we'd really been tested by a quality football team yet. And last night we talked to the boys all week about how, hey, this is the game here. We're going to see where we're at. Are we really a good team, or, you know, are we still, you know, a mediocre team and still have a lot to work for? And earlier in the week, we'd read a newspaper article from Wayne's coach talking about the game and about our district, and they asked, you know, where they thought teams were going to place that in the district, and they were saying that they thought we might be the fifth best team in the district and maybe squeak in there for the fourth place spot. And you know, we took that and we ran with that this week. So that was a good bulletin board deal for us to kind of fire the boys up there. And anytime you play Wayne, you know, again, they're pretty close team to us, and yeah. It was just nice to get a win. Coach Gray, my lineman coach, all 4 years of high school, whenever he used to play, never did beat Wayne, so he's been wanting to beat Wayne for a long time, so he was really excited about it, and he's done a heck of a job with our linemen too. Offensive, defensive linemen, he's been with me for 8 years now. Coach Bickle's been with me for 10 years. My coaching staff, I can't ask for a better group, but, you know, to get a win this early season, we felt like this could be, you know, a chance for the district, you know, at least put somebody on top for the district title and kind of, you know, run with it from there. But, you know, we still got some really tough games. I know Twin Cedars won really big mm-hmm. last night over Melcher Dallas. I know we went and watched them play against English Valleys a couple weeks ago, and they've got a really solid team. And Mormon Trail, they returned a lot of their boys from last year, and they got some big kids on that team. And so we've still got some tough games, but to get that confidence of a win and just to win a close one for once, it seems like a lot of times we've just been on the losing side of those, especially the last few years. And for these boys to get that confidence off of a big win like that and to pull it out like they did, like I said, not giving up. You know, they scored there with the 51 seconds left. And, you know, for our boys to stand up and say, well, we're not going to allow them to give that two-point conversion. And then, you know, then our kick return team, which, you know, half our kick return team, you know, aren't even starters. Those are kids that, you know, we tell them this is your chance to go out and, you know, make your mark here on this football team and, you know, contribute, you know, even more for this football team. And those boys stepped up last night like we wanted to, and, you know, just a great job. And probably one of the best victories that I've ever had in my coaching career, you know, just to win and to win that way. And but I'm getting old enough now, I don't know if I can handle very many more of those like that.
Well, Coach, congratulations. A great ride here in the early part of the season. Going to be a lot of fun to watch the Mohawks over the year. And you know, I caught up with Briar Cochran. He was at Subway with three of his other seniors. And I walked over and talked to him a little bit. And you could see that they were really confident that they were going to have a great season. And they had talked about the work they put in the off season. And it showed they physically were, you know, Briar was physically, you know, more ripped, and he's already a tough kid. But you could see that they really believe, and that they paid the price before the season even began.
Right. You know, I have to give some props out to our baseball coach, Michael Kozarich. In the past few years, we've always kind of, I don't even want to say battled, but just to try to get the baseball boys in to lift because they've got that mentality. I don't want to be tired from my baseball games, things like that. And Michael made a commitment this year to have those boys come in and lift, and they would lift, and then they'd go out and have baseball practice right after. So it was a requirement for those boys to get in there. And once they realized that, hey, this isn't really hurting us, you know, they were all in then, and that was a big thing for us this past summer. But, you know, Briar, you know, is a great wrestler also, and he's got that wrestling mentality, and, you know, he wants to win. I mean, that's just Briar's mentality, and he's going to do whatever he can to win. And, you know, the kids tend to follow Briar. What Briar says, that's, you know, the boys believe in him. And last night he fired a 5-yard touchdown pass for us to take that lead 24-18, you know, with just a few minutes left in the game. And that was great. I've never seen him throw a pass that hard, and it was right on target to Trevor, and Trevor had a kid hanging all over his back and carried him into the end zone. And it was great, but I was wanting to throw some props out, too, to Chase Snyder. I know I talked to him a little bit ago about running down the sideline, but he stepped in this year as a varsity linebacker for us. He played some last year, but the kid had 19 tackles last night.
That's what I thought I heard you say last night. And he had a big week the week before, too.
Yeah, he's definitely going to be a good one. He's only a junior. He's been behind Gunner Miller again the last few years, and he's just has a nose for the football. When he hits you, he hits you hard. I mean, when we were walking through the line last night, they had four or five kids holding on to one arm, and we had the same thing. We were two evenly matched football teams, but, you know, Chase, whenever he brings it, he brings it. He's gonna lay the wood whenever he's there.
Well, Coach, congratulations once again. Describe for us, though. You know, we're going to take your coaching mind. We heard the Abby coaching staff and their predictions of today's ball game, and we're going to see if he's correct. I don't know. I think I know where Coach Whitlow might be leaning.
Well, I am a Hawkeye fan, and you know, and I'm cheering for the Hawks. And seems like halftime when I cheer for them, it seems like that's when they lose. So I always felt
so
like
don't be cheering
cheer,
for them today.
Cheer loudly.
So that's what I was thinking. Like, do I say that Iowa State's going to win just to maybe give the Hawkeye some luck? But I think with the tragic deal with Tyler Sash this past week, you know, I think the Hawkeyes are going to play some inspired football, and Hawkeyes are going to win it, but it is going to be a close game. And our ties with that also this week with Tyler, our assistant coach, Rob Campbell, had coached Tyler up at Oskaloosa, so it was a big thing for him last night to get a win for us. And you know, I told Coach Campbell last night after the game, hey, Coach, I think Tyler was looking down at you tonight and helped us with that win. And that was a pretty rough thing for Coach Campbell. He's friends with the family and things. And I know the Moravia coaching staff and team gives our condolences to the Sash family and the Hawkeyes. And just hopefully it's a good game today and everybody stays healthy and both teams go on and have a good season.
Coach Denny Whitlow, head coach of the Moravia Mohawks, victorious on a kickoff return for a touchdown, and what a way to end a football game.
Special teams, oh so special. That's just great to see. 30-24, great victory last night for them.
All right, you hear that fight song in the background? That means that we've got Paul Clark on the line with CycloneReport.com. And, Paul, buddy, we've kept you waiting forever.
Help me out, Paul. I got a bunch of Hawkeyes around here.
Scotty's got to push the right button. All right, Paul, now we have you on. Buddy, we keep you waiting, and then we don't even put you on the air. That's pretty bad stuff.
Hey, it's good to be on with you. Thanks for having me.
Well, you know, Dan feels a little overwhelmed because he's surrounded by Hawkeyes here. And, you know, the common theme here is that Hawkeye fans, with their arrogance from the past, I think it's been disappearing. And, so, Dan, even though you've been surrounded, really, the Hawks have been pretty tentative.
Yeah, Paul, talk about it. I need some support here. I've been trying to tell him, you know, Cyclone fans, we really are more cerebral and thoughtful in the way we look at this. And I picked the Cyclones to win, and it's not from my heart. It's just because it's, you know, facts speak for themselves in recent history.
You're just breaking it down with some good objective analysis, right?
Yeah, out of way.
Well, I think, you know, you're pretty much going to be outnumbered in that part of the state 24/7. If I'm as familiar with Southeast Iowa as I think I am, I have a lot of family ties down there. So, you know, that's just something you signed up for living down there. But hopefully they take it easy on you.
Well, Paul, where are those places of optimism if you're a Cyclone fan that you say, hey, this is the aspect of the game that we have an advantage at?
Well, I think overall it's hard to draw too many rock solid conclusions from watching them play the one game, but my sense is that overall Iowa State's just gotten more talent. I think they just upgraded their athleticism, partly from the junior college recruiting that they've done, and also from some younger guys that have matured and are now stepping in to play roles. I guess my sense is they're just a better team. They still don't have much margin for error, of course, when it comes to health, so you kind of have to keep your fingers crossed and hope for the best on the injury front. I think Sam Richardson has certainly continued to evolve. I mean, this is it for him, fifth-year senior. He's not going to be an all-Big 12 player. He's not going to be an All-American. He's not going to be an NFL draft choice, but he has a chance to really be a pretty solid and productive quarterback for Iowa State this year. Nothing spectacular. I don't think he's a guy that's going to put up huge numbers, but I think he's going to be a guy that takes care of the ball and manages the game. And we didn't see him run the football to speak of against you and I, and that's been a component of his game to this point. So I think we may see more Sam Richardson in the run game today for Iowa State. Receiving core, I think a case could be made that Iowa State's four best players are their top four receivers. Alan Lazard, Quentin Bundridge, DeVario Montgomery, Devondre Daly. That's as good a four receivers as Iowa State's ever had at one time as far as I'm concerned. So I think that's a position group, and that's a component to the game that Iowa State just needs to rely on more and more And I certainly hope to see him throw the ball a lot more today and every Saturday, and we'll see if it goes that way.
You know, let's stay on the offensive side just a little bit more there. Talk a little bit. I think the team settling in with the offensive coordinator, Coach Mangino, and how Sam and all the players have really, I think, settled in on that. Sam, I think, has done a great job adjusting to that, and now he's got a second year under his tutelage. And talk about what you're seeing in terms of how they're maturing through that offense and the schemes that Coach Mangino is bringing.
Yeah, and I think it's really important for the players to understand that it's all on them. Mangino's system is proven. When he was an offensive coordinator, his system worked. When he was a head coach, his system worked. So that system is proven, and that puts all the burden on the players to say, hey, we know this works. We can go back and look up the history books. We know what Mangino's system's done before as players. It's on us to make it work, and I think that they are getting more comfortable with it. The offense wasn't great against UNI. Don't get me wrong. There's still a lot of room to improve, especially in the running game. They were far from a potent offense last Saturday night. They still got a long ways to go, but it has to help. It has to give them great confidence to know that Mangino's system is proven. It's worked before at several different places, and now it's all on the players to execute it.
Well, we're talking with Paul Clark, but I want to get to, Paul, you're going to hang on here because we've got to get rid of this Cyclone Kool-Aid, and we got to add a little Hawkeye perspective. I got Tom Cakert, HawkeyeReport.com. Tom, help me out, brother. I need a little help here. I'm surrounded by Cyclones in this very moment. Listening to him talk about Mangino and this offense, I don't think the Cyclones I don't know if they're going to have an answer for Drew Ott at defensive end. I think he proved that he's a real deal. And this defense showed us last Saturday that they may be better than anticipated.
Yeah, I think they're better than maybe we thought they were. Having said that, Iowa State's got a really good offensive line. I think the big test for Iowa is going to be, are they going to handle those four receivers from Iowa State, who are big, strong, fast, athletic guys, and if they can, they're going to have to get a pass rush on Sam Richardson because if he gives them time, those guys are going to get open, and it could be a long day.
Tom, let's talk about the emotional advantage that has been Iowa State in this series. You know, you really have to say Iowa State has held an emotional advantage, and yet this week with the tragedy of Tyler Sash, you would think that there would be a rallying call around the Hawkeye program, and the Hawks would come out with some more enthusiasm.
Yeah, it is going to be an emotional day for a lot of people associated with the Iowa program. Now, the guys on the team, I think they probably know about Tyler. They know of him. I'm certain this week have become, acquainted with his legacy and his status. But none of those guys played with him, so they don't have that personal relationship with him. But it's certainly going to be the coaches, for Kirk Ferentz, for Bill Parker, for Reese Morgan in particular. I think a pretty emotional day for those guys.
Paul, let's go back to the Cyclones here for just a second. And on the defensive side, you talk about the junior college transfers, a lot of players coming in, and got to see some of them on the defensive side last Saturday. What are your thoughts as far as how we're going to be able to control the Hawkeyes' offense with Beathard and Daniels and Kanzeri and all those guys they've got on that side of the ball?
Yeah, well, certainly, I guess if I was playing defensive coordinator for a day, I would say you stop that running game and take your chances with Iowa throwing the ball, which is not to say the Hawks can't do that, but if I'm going to pick my poison, I'm going to try to stop the running game and make them throw the football. I thought LeSean Daniels, from the part of the game I got to see last week, to me he looked like the real deal and really looked to me like Iowa's got that feature workhorse back again that they haven't had for a while. They've been relying on, the overachievers for a while, the Weissmans and the Kanzeris, guys like that, but to me, boy, Daniels, he looked like the real deal, and certainly it's a concern from an Iowa State perspective if Iowa gets that line surge going and they get that stretch play going. Then that also creates some great opportunities for them off of play action. And I think Iowa quarterbacks have completed about a million passes to their tight ends in the games against Iowa State, and a lot of times that comes off play action. So to me, it looks like Iowa, even though they've got a new offensive coordinator here in the last couple of years, and I thought they were a little surprising last week. They were a little crazier than I thought last week, but I think they're still going to go back to that bread and butter. They're going to go back to the stretch play. They're going to go back to play action, and those are the Iowa fundamentals that really have to concern you if you're just playing defense against them.
We're talking with Paul Clark, CycloneReport.com, and Tom Cakert, HawkeyeReport.com. Paul, real quick, you know, you're loved by Cyclone fans, but do you go on Hawkeye Report and you're mentioned as much as anybody on there, and some of the math that you did this last week that had Hawkeye fans in a rile was 8% a larger crowd in Ames, and yet 10%. Louder fans. How do you explain that math? And then I'm going to ask Tom, how does the Hawks overcome that 10% sound barrier?
Well, I'm glad you told me, because I've decided to stop going out and seeing what Hawkeye fans are saying about me on the internet. It's been very good for my mental health. I haven't done that for a while, so I'm glad you brought me up today. I hope I said approximately or about, but also it's the configuration of the stadium, the fact that it's bowled in now. To me, I guess common sense tells me that's going to keep a little bit of the noise in. But I was speaking in generalities there, so I'm hoping they didn't get a bust on me too hard.
Well, Tom, he's one of the most beloved people to talk about on the HawkeyeReport.com. Whenever you have an interview with him, he certainly gets lots of talk. But certainly he was hammered on pretty hard on HawkeyeReport.com, so we'd love to hate him.
Yeah, the fans get riled up whenever I have something that has Paul's name on it. So they get worked up about it, and I'm sure Iowa State fans have a similar affection for my work as well.
I think that might be the compliment to both of you. But Tom, you know, the crowd's going to be larger. This is going to be a really juiced up environment, and it's really difficult to replicate the sound that you get at Ames and the noise, because the fans are fanatics. And we're talking with Tom Cakert, HawkeyeReport.com. I hope we still got you, Tom. How does the Hawks overcome that emotional and the surroundings, you know, the pomp and circumstance and all the emotions goes into the game? You know, it is a distraction, and it's a difficult environment to overcome.
Yeah, Iowa State is a difficult environment. It's among the most difficult that Iowa will face, because it's a rivalry game and fans are worked up there. It's a big game for both schools. And Iowa State likes to beat Iowa. Iowa likes to beat Iowa State. And for some of these guys, this is going to be their first trip there, and they're going to be playing in this game. And some of them, it's their first start on the road. And you have to worry about that from an Iowa perspective, and in terms of communication and timing and everything that goes into executing the play.
Well, Tom and both Paul, we're going to ask you both as we let you get to your festivities. I know you're both on your way to Ames, but what is going to be the keys for both teams today to get the W? And we'll start with Tom Cakert, HawkeyeReport.com.
This is a huge game for both coaches, I think, because there are so many Iowa fans that look at Kirk Ferentz's record of 7-9 against the Iowa State, and they're upset about it. And there's a residue from last year's game where Iowa just played terrible. This is somewhat of a must-win, and I think for Paul Rhodes, probably pretty similar, because he hasn't had a great deal of success the last couple of years, and maybe both seats are getting kind of warm, and that just adds the intrigue to this game today, because I think both coaches need a win to satisfy their fan bases.
And Paul, on the Iowa State side, as you're heading up there, what are those keys for that Cyclone win to get us another victory and keep this season going in the right direction for the Cyclones?
Well, I definitely have to concur with what Tom said, just in terms of importance of the game for both programs and where both programs and both head coaches are sitting right now. I certainly hope that there's not a player on either team that doesn't understand how important the game is for their respective teams. To me, it's an even enough matchup that it's probably going to come down to turnovers and penalties. I would be very surprised if uh, the team that wins the turnover battle doesn't come out as the winner in the game, and the penalties will be not only the volume. I don't think either one of these teams is going to be heavily penalized and to where they're going to have over 100 yards in penalties or whatever, but I think it's going to be when those penalties happen. Is it going to be the illegal shift that wipes out a 30-yard gain? Is it going to be the defensive holding that takes away a big defensive player, something along those lines? So to me, in a game like this where I see it as almost even-steven, I think who wins the turnover battle probably decides the game, and penalties right there close to that. So going to be that close is how I feel going into it. We'll see if it turns out that way.
Paul Clark, CycloneReport.com, and Tom Caker at HawkeyeReport.com. Thanks so much for stopping by. Two guys that love to be hated by the other fan base, Dan. And,
doing their jobs well.
But, you know, if you were a Hawk fan and you're a rabid Hawk fan and you dislike the Cyclones and or a Cyclone fan that dislikes the Hawkeyes, there's no better place to go and get that inside information than to either one of their websites. And you're going to get the inside information way before the newspapers ever get it out. CycloneReport.com, HawkeyeReport.com. And you talk about a great gift for that guy that's got everything. That's the place to go.
Both great coverage by both of them for their respective teams, and it's a great rivalry. It's great to have great fun, and this is a fun week for both of us. You and I are childhood friends, growing up together, but opposite fence on the side of the fence forever. So it's just fun to hear guys like that who really studied even more so than you and I do, to really know what's going on with both programs.
They know what's going on with these
and
two,
and that's where I get my resources so I can kind of help fight back with words with you.
Great deal, Paul Clark, CycloneReport.com. Make sure you go there and check it out, Cyclone fans and Hawkeye fans, and get that inside information. Tom Caker at HawkeyeReport.com, and lots of content, lots of free content that you can go to the website as well. 1:30 pregame show, and guess where you can hear all the action, Dan?
Iowa Sports Leader, right here, KIC.
That's Thunder absolutely
Country.
Right, but I've got you. I kind of know where you're leaning all night long. You've been saying Cyclones, but really, where is the win going to come from?
Well, I mean, Iowa State's going to win, but it's going to be close. It'll be a 3-point game. It'll be tight, and I think Paul hit it right. Turnovers could be a big issue on it, and penalties, and so we'll see who can control that and control their emotions to play a clean game. But you know, Iowa State is clearly the class of the state. It's you know, they toy with Iowa. Let's just be honest.
Oh my. Toying with us is what they're doing, all right. But the Hawks, I'll tell you, here's why I think the Hawks have a win in the recipe, and that is the offensive line has been as far ahead of where we thought they would be. Now, whether or not the defense for the Cyclones is better than Illinois State, which it probably is, but the way that the running backs were hitting the hole, we have running backs.
Right.
You know, we've had some outstanding players playing running back,
right,
but we have two backs now that are true running backs. And to have Beathard at the lead, I think, that's a combination that offensively allows to get the points that we need.
Definitely. And last week, certainly, Daniels had a great game. I really thought Kanziri had a very good game in reserve.
And where were you last week?
You know, I was scouting for the Cyclones. I had stolen your tickets and sitting up at the north end zone. And we did. We had a chance to watch it. My youngest son, unfortunately, is a Hawkeye fan, and so I love him to death, so we go up and support them as well. But it was a great game. And the other side, I was very impressed with the defensive line for Iowa. You know, and again, you can talk about the FCS or BCS, you know, FCS team there, but I thought the odd, obviously got a lot of accolades, but the line did great. Linebackers were playing really good in pass coverage, and so it'll be tough. Iowa State's got a really great receiving core, and so we're going to test that Hawkeye defense. But our line, which has got some experience, is going to have to keep Ott and his teammates away from Sam and let him get time to throw the ball.
Well, beautiful day for football. It's going to be a great environment. Iowa State or Iowa City or Ames or Iowa City for a football game, you can't go wrong.
A day like today?
Wow.
Awesome.
It's going to be awesome. Going to be a lot of fun. You can catch all the action right here on your Sports Leader KIC 1:30, the pregame show with the kickoff at 3:45. And so that's a lot of time for some of these tailgaters to get lubricated. It will be a ruckus environment. It's going to be a great ride, and we want to thank you. I want to thank Scotty Fry. How about the work of Scotty Fry bouncing back and forth? He looked like he was playing the old piano here with four sets of hands. And Scotty, thanks for doing a great job here. Thanks for Joe Milley for falling asleep and allowing this show to go an extra half hour long. You've been listening to the expanded version of the Coach's Corner, brought to you by Community for Chris Credit Union. Have a great weekend.
Now that school is back in session, you may have questions about student loans or looking for ways to earn some extra cash. Don't worry, we've got you covered at Community First Credit Union. Stop in today and become a Your Voice member. This is just for the 13 to 25 crowd, and best of all, it's free. Checking with advantages, free online and mobile banking, a $10 iTunes gift card, and so much more. For more information, check out our website at seefirstyourvoice.com. Get smart with your money and have a say in your financial future. Federally insured by the NCUA.
Oakwood Nursing and Rehab Center, located on the southern edge of Albia, provides the community with a professional approach to 24-hour nursing services with individualized care plans and activity calendar. We offer an activities calendar complete with religious services, arts and crafts, and monthly trips to surrounding counties. It is our goal at Oakwood Nursing and Rehab Center to match your loved one's interests and needs to provide a complete continuum of quality care. Call us today at 641-932-7105.